Kizazi moto comes from kizazi cha moto, which means generation of fire in Kiswahili.
Yeah.
And what it's intended to mean is that we're bringing a new, fresh set of a fire generation of storytellers, you know, from the African continent. So it's a big movement for the whole continent. We are fortunate enough to be the first ones to get this kind of opportunity at this scale. But besides that, it just means it's the implications of the title Kizazi Moto is supposed to mean that there is a fire burning. It has always been burning in Africa, and it's just now everyone gets a chance to hear this next generation of storytellers. So hopefully it becomes something bigger than us.
Mujevale, Mujevale, Mujevale. My name is Barney Kibuka, and welcome to another episode of the Ugandan Bold Talk Show.
Welcome to my podcast, Mr. Raymond Malinga. I've always wanted to have you on the podcast. I think you know how you ended up on my podcast. One of a friend of mine, a guest on the show, recommended you to be on the podcast. I added you on Instagram, and what an amazing thing I fell into. Like, just when I added you on Instagram, I fell into like a whole bunch of content, the work you do, amazing work. I was like starstruck before even I looked at you face to face, you know, like I was starstruck by what you do. So I was like, I need to have this guy on my podcast. So welcome to my podcast, brother.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for those kind words. What an introduction, eh? Okay.
And I know we've talked a little bit, just small talk, but the words that come out of you are like so inspiring, so encouraging. And that's all what I do on this podcast. I host people, especially people who are from Uganda, that can inspire another child who has a dream that they want to chase. When I started this podcast, I grew up in Uganda for 20 years till I moved to the United States, and getting an opportunity to do what I do now, and I say the whole podcast to pass on this message to another child in Uganda who is able to do what I do now. Like I've told you before, I'm an airplane mechanic, and I know there isn't a lot of kids in Uganda who think they can do it. And that's why I say this podcast, and I bring these guests to share their stories. Most of the people today will know you, the new movie that just aired on Disney, and being a part of that. But I wanted to start this podcast off by just going back in who Raymond is before even we get to what people just see today, and people just see your journey, how you get to where you are today. Who is Raymond Malinga without just like a simple way you can introduce yourself to the person?
I have to give you the professional introduction. Raymond Malinga, I am the CEO of the Creatures Animation Studio here in Kampala, Uganda. We made a short film called A Color Band Ate My Homework. You should go and check it out. And I'm also the director of episode 1, Kizazi Moto, Herder Boy.
That's awesome. That's perfect. That's a perfect introduction. And that's what I wanted, because I wanted to start the Color Band Ate My Homework, the one you did in 2017. A lot of people have not, it might not have like boomed out, but like you mentioned it, that you did it. What was the reason you decided to do the project Color Band just for a short period of time, for the people who never tapped into that, to know what that was about?
For me, Color Band was mostly to challenge ourselves. Can we tell a Ugandan story that has some global appeal? Mm-hmm. And it was also to see if we could build. So this project was used to build the studio. So we started off with my brother and I, just two of us in a garage, and then we finished a project with about 7 people. And the project had multiple objectives, but the main one was to build the studio and also to prove that something like that could be done in Uganda.
Nice. That's really amazing. And it started with me. When I saw that the first time, I was like, dude, I didn't know this could be done in Uganda. And when you explain it like that, like that's the picture. Even me who was born in Uganda see that this could be done. And later on when we're going to talk about Kizazi Moto, there's a thing that just came out in my head. I'm like, dude, this explains it well. And like when you touch on it, it shows to the people who watch, people who see that this too can be done in Uganda. Your journey into animations, how did you end up there? There isn't a lot of people I've met in life in Uganda who say, I'm going to do animation. Like, how did you end up in animations?
Well, hopefully that's changing now with more examples of animation, or could we call them success stories, or at least on the journey to become successes. Mm-hmm. For me, it started, I've always loved telling stories and writing. That's what I started with. And I wanted to be a novelist, actually, author at first. And I was introduced to animation quite early on in my university, not my university, rather, my secondary school, around like S3. I was introduced into the idea of like a single drawing, mm-hmm. moving. If you put the movement, if you draw several drawings, it creates this illusion of movement.
Right.
And I fell in love with that because I saw it as the perfect art form. And after that, I got the opportunity to go and study in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. So I was hired at an animation studio called Wow Animation Malaysia. Then I left the job because I felt like Africa was calling. I feel like I had some responsibility to come back. I was complaining about the state of the industry back home, and I was like, why don't I go? And to be honest, the plan was always to come back and start a studio anyway. So I started with my brother, and we did Color Bandit, my homework, and soon after that, we're here, you know, doing Kizazi Moto. I know I've skipped a lot of things. No, we don't have a lot of time.
Yeah, but there's no way we can dissect every single thing you've done through in this short period of time. But yeah, that's like the gist of it. And like, as you talk about these things, like even Kalawanda in my homework, like I want the listeners to go out there and check it out, because we're not going to sit down here and just dissect through the. But while you're in Malaysia too, and you got an award, Junior Production Executive in Malaysia, you've had a ton of awards in your lifetime, like the things you've won, Best Short Film in Cote d'Ivoire. You also had a project that you've done in NEO's NFT projects. I saw that too, which is really amazing. Wow, animations. And the creatures animations you talked about that you said with your brother. Is your brother Robin? I saw him. I've not met him. But that's amazing that you were able to do all these things. And the fact that you said Africa was calling, that means a lot to me. I mean, it kind of makes me feel bad sometimes because I left Africa to come just a dream in the United States. But like, I still think about home.
Everyone has their journey. Right. It's fine.
I think about that, and that's the reason why I want to connect to Uganda as much as I can. That's why I started a podcast, to feel at home and to just inspire, even without being there, doing this podcast remote and having you here. Along your journey, you met some amazing people like John Travolta. I saw a picture of that, and cool moments. But in the people you've met in life, you meet Peter Ramsey, and who is the first African American to win the Academy. And from watching the Kizazi Moto, I saw he was like executive producer. How was your experience meeting Peter in the first time, and where did you meet?
I actually met Peter in 2019 in Cape Town International Film Festival first. So Kizazi Moto was actually the second time I was meeting him, but this time I got to work with him. It was quite amazing to see, to learn from him, because he has a lot of expertise and a lot of knowledge. Mm-hmm. What I will add to what you're saying is that there's so many amazing people I met, actually. The people that I really am leaving with, besides obviously Peter and the amazing people I've met, actually the directors of Kizazi Moto, because I think those guys are just so brilliant. And right. I enjoy talking to them. They're just so intelligent. And I think... I've formed some really good friendships, Peter included, and a lot of the executive producers, but the directors mostly.
There's a lot of people who try to close relationships with other people. I know for different reasons, but even in my own story, moving to America, like it's the people that, not my family, not my friends, that have brought all these opportunities in my life. And it's a cool thing. You meet amazing people. You don't know what they're going to add in your life, but there's a lot of cool things that will happen in your life through the people you thought you meet. Like now you're talking about these opportunities that came with when you met Peter. And that leads me to whatever everybody would want to hear about, the Kizazi Moto. To begin with, what does Kizazimoto mean? Like, just that word.
Kizazimoto comes from Kizazi cha moto, which means generation of fire in Kiswahili.
Yeah.
And what it's intended to mean is that we're bringing a new, fresh set of a fire generation of storytellers, you know, from the African continent. So it's a big movement for the whole continent, and we are fortunate enough to be the first ones to get this kind of opportunity at this scale. But besides that, it just means it's the implications of the title Kizazimoto is supposed to mean that there is a fire burning. It has always been burning in Africa, and it's just now everyone gets a chance to hear this next generation of storytellers. So hopefully it becomes something bigger than us.
Yeah, I gotta say, I knew what it meant, but for the listeners, because my mom is Kenyan. I don't know if I told you that. So I speak Swahili. So my mom is Kenyan, my dad is Ugandan, but like I knew what the word meant, but I know a lot of my listeners, like in the United States, they might not know that, and hearing it from you, they might think I'm lying, because some of these people, they don't trust me. But like hearing it from you, they will like that. So I believe there was about 70 creators who were invited to pitch in ideas for this Kizazimoto, the show. Could you tell me about, like, your, is a question I can ask, but could you tell me like a process of how that went? When you started, did you ever think you'll be one of the people who get selected?
I think to first answer that last part, I think you have to go in with the attitude of being selected, you know. So I kind of went in with the attitude that I have to be selected, you know.
Yeah.
So you just keep on working. If they're to not select me, let them not select me at me working at my highest level at the time, so that I can know that I did all I could. And then if there's another opportunity, I just have to work harder than I did last time. That's all. But the process was pretty much received the invitation to pitch, pitched a couple of ideas. I pitched two. I think the maximum was three. Heard a Boy was the one that we settled on. Then went through just a process of synopses, writing act structures, character descriptions, and I didn't know how many people were involved. I just said I have to be amongst the last people. That's what I was thinking about. So then eventually they just chose the 10 and they greenlit the projects, and we started production. So it was about a year of development. They call it development. So you're developing the characters, developing the script, developing just basically a structure of what your film is going to be like. And then after that, we went into about 16, mine was about a 16 to 15 month production period after that.
Yeah.
But generally, it's almost been like from the first email to now, it has been almost 3 years, 3 years or 2.5 years, I might be incorrect, since I knew what I was working on.
Yeah.
Everyone else is just catching up now. So it's quite interesting. It's quite satisfying to hear the responses.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I know you touched on a little bit when you said you had three ideas, because I had a question here where I was going to ask you, like, is this an idea that you had on the back of your pocket that you always wanted the world to see? Because like the story from the Hutter Boy, like that's a question I had on there. Is like, is that a story that you always had on your back pocket that I want the world to see this?
Well, I had this story. I first developed this story when I was in my early days in university, right? And it was one of the first projects I tried to force myself to create an African premise, because I had realized that every single time I was writing, there was always some form of influence from the West. And this time I tried my best to say, what can I do that's very local? At the time, it was actually geared towards the Maasai. But when it has changed so much since I started the production of Kizazimoto and the development of the short, and I changed it to be more focused to Uganda, because I realized that, you know, it's my comparative advantage. You know, someone can be way better than me at being a New Yorker because they live in New York, but I understand Ugandan things. So and just gives me some, I'm just going to extend my answer to something else, which is, you know, when I looked around, like in Uganda, there's a limited scope of exploration in the film arena. You find people mostly doing dramas and soaps, which is not bad, but I think that there's room to to expand the genres that we actually tell and become commonplace. And so what I really love about animation, and it's not necessarily a genre, animation is just a medium, and you can tell any type of story there. But what I love about animation is that if you look at the projects in Kizazimoto, it can push the medium of African cinema forward, right? Because we are not limited by, we're limited by the artistic expression, you know? And I think that that's quite interesting that I can go forth and say cattle herders can be cool and they can have all these weapons, you know? Yeah. Animation allows us to push the boundary of the medium and how it's being used on the continent. And that's what I was looking for, really. So if you were to ask me at the back of my mind, yes, I did have Herder Boy. There are other stories I had as well. This one just seemed to fit so well for Kizazimoto. And its aim is to just push the boundaries of what kind of stories come out of Uganda and how we package our culture.
You answered that perfectly because that was my next line we're going to talk about and I like that because my question was going to be, was that like an opportunity for you to change the culture perspective of Uganda? Watching that movie in the United States, I sent you a picture of two of my nieces. Well, they were sitting there watching, like one of them could not take his eyes off the TV. And I had other people in the room watching, we're watching together and my in-laws. But watching that, there's a perspective of people in the U.S. that have about Africa, which you brought the story very well, keeping the African culture in the story, but also showing that Africa or Uganda is not just what you guys think, just huts. It's more to that than just what people think about Africa, you know? Like, that you did that so perfect. And I know the first time I talked to you before, we were like, do you know what my movie is? You asked me that question. I was like, no, I don't. But don't tell me because I want to go and do my own research and find out which one is your movie. 3 seconds into watching when it was released on July 5th, 3 seconds, I was like, this is Raymond's episode. Because like there's a lot of things. And when you're Ugandan, you're able to tell right away. The hat for me gave it away the first time because the hat was black, yellow, and red. The names, you kept the names. When I had Dushime, and even before they started calling the names, they speaking English. And the way you portrayed that is like, you know, in Uganda we speak, they call it Luga English. You speak English with Luganda, you know, like, so they were speaking English and they're like, Gendeli! And I was like, oh, did he just say Gendeli? But like, was that the motive of that story? I know you've already, actually answered that. But like, if you want to add on to that.
Yeah, so of course, I was trying my best to put as many Ugandanisms in there as possible. I feel like there could have been a few more, but they're enough in there. The motivation of the story is to push the medium forward and also to push our industry forward in terms of what kind of stories we have as the foundation for inspiration for the next stories. So what I did here was that by using the cattle herder and cattle herders, it's one of the world's oldest professions in Uganda. It's like it's very hard to go maybe a week or two, even a day, I think, without seeing some cows if you're moving around if you're moving around anywhere. Uganda, and I found it very interesting to explore the idea that there are some communities here, and even in the past, that rely communities now and communities in the past that rely on cattle as their source of food, source of clothing, and I what Herder Boy explores is what if the cattle were also a source of our power, so our technology, and it was very interesting to if I can package for the Ugandan audience. Cattle keepers who have pretty much remained the same in all kinds of depictions that you've ever seen. And if I can throw those guys forwards and make them look really cool, my hope is that a Ugandan from any walk of life can watch it and say, you mean there is a way we can portray anything in our culture in a more interesting way. Mm-hmm. We don't always have to just portray things mundanely, you know? Mm-hmm. There's room for imagination and exploration.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to encourage. That's my motivation. And to keep Ugandanness in there. There's a lot of Ugandan stuff in there, but
there's
stop the average.
There's a lot of Ugandan stuff in there. And one of my favorite scenes, and I'm not going to try to spoil it for anybody, but like it's a Ugandan thing, like when I'm gonna forget the names, but when the little boy goes on to save
Nahura
goes on to save and comes back, instead of the parents like, "Oh my gosh, you're the best kid, you've done, you're amazing," just slaps on the head. That's a typical Ugandan mother. Like, there's a lot of things, but because
African mother,
like
an African mother, it's very specific with Ugandan, but I think it cuts across Africa. That's how, I don't know how to put it, but it's like, that's the only way she could have responded in that situation.
Because like, you did something good, but because you never asked for permission to do that thing, or like you just went on your own, that's not good. That's not okay. Like, what if you couldn't, you know, like that's the perspective we got out there. But yeah, there was a lot of Ugandan stuff in there. And my little cousin was asking me, "What are those red stuff?" The fighting stuff. So I was trying to explain to him, those are the bad guys. Or like, they usually use the term bad guys. They're trying to attack the cows. And he picked up on the, you know, we talked about cows, you know, but to be specific, you know, the cows in Kenya are different than the cows in Uganda. So the cows in Uganda have the long horns, and you portrayed that. Like, my little boy was asking me, "What cows have long horns?" And then I had to show him a picture on Google of the cows in Uganda with the long horns. And like, yeah, that came out perfect. And the other thing I wanted to know, and I'm focusing on Hardaboy, but there's a lot of other episodes on that show. And there's a lot of amazing work. I'm not trying to shadow all the other guys, who other directors did a great job. I connect with this more, but you all should. I watch all of them, so all of you who are listening, you should go and watch all these other shows. And for that reason, I'm gonna pick out episode 2 for this comparison. Like, when I watched episode 2 and yours, yours was more grounded, and when we're talking about it, like, it was grounded in a way, and then episode 2 was in the future. How did you go about that? Because you wanted to show, it was kind of, because we had robots in there, so it was kind of generational, but also still what happens in, you get like what's already happened, like, you know, like what we talked about.
It was a very interesting task for me, because it does take place in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But I challenged myself with making a film that felt, first of all, Uganda is a very conservative country. And so my mindset when I was making the film was, I'm trying to usher in a new way of thinking, you know, of presenting our cultures, I have to be very aware of the fact that if you take it too far, sometimes people don't want to pay attention in Uganda.
Yeah.
And so what I did is that I challenged myself to make a film that felt grounded, but yet when you're watching it, you're very aware that these guys are technologically advanced, right? And for me, when you ask me about the other episodes of Kizazimoto, I have nothing but praise for them. You know, we watched the films before the audience did, and I was just like, how lucky are we to be part of this moment in history, you know? So when I look at episode 2, which is Mukuzi, I love Mukuzi as well, it takes place in Soweto, and I think they did a film that targets the people that they were trying to represent there really well. And and you see, you're resonating with my film because you understand, like, you appreciate the qualities of how real and grounded it felt, yet you're very aware that it's actually technologically advanced. Yeah. And that was just an intentional choice on my end, you know, so I can make more futuristic and crazy Ugandan stories as well, but yeah, it was very intentional to try to keep it feeling like these are just it's a day in a life of cattle herders in the future. That's what it kind of was supposed to come off like.
That was really amazing, and I really love that. And the final line that we talked about, like, "Onomana banage kado go," how that, after I remember after watching it the first time, I've watched it like 3 times. After watching the first time, I shoot back, I was like, "Ono mana wanange kando go," like, how, why did you pick that to be the ending and the closing part of it?
I remember for a long time in my script, and I was trying to figure out what the last word of the whole thing would be, you know. And I remember Kadogo, when I first called him a Kadogo, when earlier on in the story, I started realizing that this word Kadogo, it kind of represents how I was feeling at the time of making this film, you know, because you feel like you are underestimated, you have not been given an opportunity, but you're a person who's fighting in the trenches, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I remember I was looking for a word to call Indahura throughout this whole thing when all the other senior herders are calling. And I was like, what word would just be appropriate, you know? And I remember that word when I was growing up, when like your uncle, who's like much older than you, comes and says, you can go, you go and get me this. Like it just feels like you're such a small, yeah. You know? And also it had cross-cultural appeal because it could also reach the people in Kenya and Tanzania as well. Mm-hmm. I really like that. But the reason why I ended with that sentence is that it's, for those who don't understand, it's like, it's an exclamation of, he can't believe what this small boy has, mm-hmm. has achieved. Yeah. And so he's exclaiming with surprise, man, this kid, you know? And I like that idea to mirror the fact that a person like me was able to come in, make a film at this level, mm-hmm. you know, and we actually finished it. So it's kind of a shout out to myself, yeah. to my entire team who worked on this this project. There are a lot of people who are trying this stuff out for the first time. You know, I have some of my teammates from my studio who have earned their first Disney Plus credits as well. Worked on this, but you know, you come in sometimes feeling like the small person, but then you have something to prove. So that last sentence for me was deliberately chosen to just like, it's a shout out to any Kadogo out there, mm-hmm. who's actually proving something and no longer a Kadogo, you know.
Yeah.
Now the next step is we're leveling up after this.
I like that you send a shout out to the people that you work with, and in the same way, I want to send a shout out to your team, people that you worked with. It was really an amazing work. I feel really proud. Everybody I know in the US is like, hey, it's from Uganda right there. It's from Uganda right there. You go watch it. Like, I feel proud. It's like, I'm the one who made, or like, I feel like, I know I resonated with the movie so much. I'm like, hey, go watch this. It's from Africa. Like, and when my nieces were watching, like, this is in Africa. I was like, it's Africa? But it's really amazing. You all did a great job. Shout out to Disney. Shout out to everybody that was part of this team. But also, like, Shobaimu, I know we just found that out. That I hosted him on the podcast. He was the photographer and part of your team. Shout out to Shobaimu, too. He's a great guy. I interviewed him here for just his photography work. But seeing him being part of that and getting those credits, like you were mentioning, these people, means a lot. It adds to your resume. And many things are coming up. I was going to ask you a question, that should we wait for anything more coming out? But I know there is a lot coming out. Is there something you want to talk about?
I won't talk about specifics, but yeah. I usually go silent for a couple of months or years and people get frustrated.
Yeah.
But hopefully when I come back out of the surface of whatever I was trying to do, it will be worth it, you know?
Yeah.
So I do have a couple of projects coming up where my team and I are currently doing a YouTube kid show called Kunda and Friends, with a production house for that YouTube kid show, which is really interesting. It's been challenging there. But right now we're just enjoying Kizazi Moto, mm-hmm. response.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking to a couple of people about things. So I'm being very vague and dancing around your question, but
yeah.
the short answer is yes, we're working on some things. And hope we enjoy them as much as you've enjoyed the last two.
Hopefully. And that has opened up my mind. And I'm somebody who was never into animations or anything, but like just seeing that, it opened my mind up into animation. And right now I can just sit down and just watch and enjoy it, and knowing how it connects to me. So you did a really good job. And I really wanted to just end with that word on Omana Banangi Kadogo. But I want to ask you, you see, I like that because on my podcast, when it's starting, I know I host a lot of people who are not Ugandans, but I have Mujevale, 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 because I connect with that. And I want somebody who just tunes in to know, what's the word? Mujevale, Mujevale, Mujevale. It's like me saying, hi, I'm here with my podcast,
yeah.
but it's in my local language. So when you did that, it yep. hit right home. And that's why, like, I loved it. And, but one final question I want to ask you is, what has been a life lesson you've learned in life to this point?
A life lesson I've learned. So I have several mantras that I just live by, codes. So I wouldn't say, would I say life lesson? I'm going to put out my mantras. Okay. So one of them is, some of them are borrowed. Actually, most of them are borrowed. I can't remember where I heard them from the first time, but I'll just say them. So the first one is, if you want to go fast, you go alone. If you want to go far, you go together. So that's why I have a team. I always credit my team and anyone who works with me, because it's very important to me that we move as an industry. An industry cannot stand by only one person. Mm-hmm. Needs several people to do this. So shout outs to the 100 people who worked on my film. And also the voice actors. I want to also say Florence Kasumba, you know, Patrick Salvador, Blair, Omara Daniel. They're all important. Then the second one is to always live with an audacity to dream, you know. That's actually my studio's mantra, the audacity to dream. So we're usually looked at and we feel like we're left out of a lot of things, you know, in Africa and Uganda. It always feels like things are happening there and we're just consuming. And I believe that with a great mindset, you can achieve a lot, you know, and we can change some of these narratives to work for us, you know. So, and it takes a lot of audacity to do that, because everything in the world is telling you it can't be done, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would say. And so that's currently how I just wake up in the morning and continue. Yeah. so far so good, but let's wait and see, you know. So form teams and have audacity.
Yeah. I know that I said the other one was a final question, but I got another one. What gets you excited about life?
What gets me excited about life? Conversation. I love conversation.
Right. Yeah.
I just like discussing possibilities. I like trying out things, you know. And so for me, it's just conversation. That's the one thing that I like the most. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, you only have your body, you know. Yeah. And you don't get the chance to experience someone else's life. But if you, for me, conversation is a way in which I get to hear out like someone else's journey. So like when you told me that you're an like aeroplane engineer and all this stuff, I was like, what? Well, that guy's life is super interesting to me. And like, so for me, and also it also helps, like, I think in order to be a storyteller, you must have incredible empathy and you must be curious, you know. And because I love conversation, I think it embodies that stuff, that you're willing to hear someone out, but also you're willing to seek out information. Mm-hmm. So that's it. So that's what gets me excited. Like if I meet a new person, I'm just like, let's talk, you know.
I would talk to you for the whole day. And I know I've mentioned this before, like you and I can talk and talk and talk, but I know it's limited even for the people listening. I want people to be able, like you said, Ugandans don't watch things for so long. Like you need to get the attention span in a certain amount of time. So when you talk so much, especially like some of my friends, like, hey, your English gets too much sometimes and they just stop off. But I could talk to you the whole day. Final question. Who would you like to see on my podcast next as a guest? And I know you've already recommended one, the guy that I'm gonna talk to.
I would recommend Robin Malinga.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think like his journey is completely different from mine, and I think people tend to mash out journeys together.
Yeah.
And I think he has so many interesting opinions and perspectives. Mm-hmm. And I would like you to interview him, because his path is very interesting too. And last thing I will say, if we're ending now, it's Watch Kizazimoto.
Yeah.
It's on streaming on Disney Plus right now. It's a collection of sci-fi, science fiction, African short films. Each of them is about 10 to 12 minutes. And they have films from Zimbabwe, Kenya, Egypt, Nigeria, South Africa, and Uganda. Uganda is episode one. It's called Herder Boy. And you should check them all out, because I think that it's an incredible achievement. And for those who have been complaining that you don't see Africa represented, this is a good starting point. There's still a lot to do, but it's a good starting point and you should go and support it and talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Go watch it. I've watched it like 3 times, but I meant to ask you, you mentioned that a little bit. You said, what was the reason you got, yours went first? Like, was Hada Boy first? Was it just pick out?
I don't know the specifics, you know, okay. But what I will say is that, I just remember somebody telling me that it felt like welcome to Africa.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what I felt too.
Yeah. Yeah, it felt like welcome to Africa. And I think it has to do with what we discussed earlier, the idea that I tried to keep it grounded, even if it felt like that's the Africa everyone thinks they know. Mm-hmm. Then when you actually start paying attention to the film, you're like, wait, but this Africa and this setting is not the same as what we have, but it's just close enough that you... So that's it. So I don't know. Like, I think I personally feel like anyone can watch any of these films, exactly. Start from anywhere, and they'll be happy. So, but obviously, watch Hada Boy, and Kizazimoto.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing times we live in.
As I conclude, I want to shout out to everybody that was part of Hada Boy, Kizazimoto, especially this one that we talked about, because in our conversation, we might have missed somebody who did music, who did voice, who did photography, but whoever was part of this is a thank you, and thank you for bringing this to us and bringing joy to our lives and happiness. That movie has brought a lot of joy and proud in me that I tell everybody in the US, like, hey, this is from Uganda, because of the perspective you talked about. So thank you very much, Raymond, and thanks for being here. Hey there, this is Bonnie Kibuka, the host of the Ugandan Boy Talk Show. Thanks for watching and listening to my podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you share it with a friend and recommend somebody to this podcast. Don't forget to leave a feedback on this podcast, because that's how we grow. And also don't forget to share, like, subscribe, and comment. Join us on our social media platforms on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. So we'd love to hear from you. Thank you very much and be blessed.